Let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, your compassion is beyond our comprehension. Your mercy freely offered to our wayward hearts. Your love poured out even though we had not loved you, and we have no love sometimes. Forgiven freely in such fullness that there's no penalty to pay, nothing else for us to do to satisfy holy anger and wrath. The Son, your only begotten Son, redeemed. May we respond to this amazing grace. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, it was the summer of 1992, I was program director for Camp Frederick over in Rogers, Ohio, south of Youngstown. And one of my responsibilities I had that summer was to lead the adventure camp. Whitewater rafting, horseback riding were the two big adventures, along with camping out in the woods. The first night of camping was to be in Ohio Pile State Park in Pennsylvania. The next day would be whitewater rafting down the Ocahanie River. And on the way to Ohio Pile State Park, we would stop at Laurel Caverns and tour the cave. Have you ever been in a cave or caverns? Up to that point in my life, I had never been in a cave. I didn't know how it would feel being underground. You know, I really had no choice. I was leading the group. It was interesting and fascinating to see the different formations and to accentuate them, how lighting was used to cause colors and shadows to pop out. And one portion of the trip, the tour guide gives the group a feeling what it's like to be underground. They turn the lights off. Darkness. Can't see anything. Not even the fingers in front of your face. The difference. Totally dark. And then they did turn the lights back on. Not too soon for me, but they turned them on. You know, I really do appreciate lights. Experiencing the utter darkness and then the light coming on. Oh, lights are beautiful. Do you really know how precious grace from God truly is? Do you want to understand that, as John Newton said, amazing grace? Then we really need to comprehend how corrupt the human heart really and truly is. From birth, the depravity of the human heart is not in vogue in today's culture. It's much more agreeable to say that human beings are essentially good. Bad experiences, bad environments while growing up are what cause these bad behaviors. But what do we do with the evidence of depravity all across the world and around us? The unspeakable atrocities that humans do to other humans. Evil. Yes, it is evil what takes place. And there seems to be a proclivity to do them. An appetite to do them. That is sin. Commit adultery, steal, lie, covet, murder. Because of the fall of humanity, every aspect of a person is affected by sin. All areas of our being are affected by sin. Mind, emotions, will, desires, even the way we love is affected by sin. Even the good things we do are tainted with sin. Man looks at the outward acts. God looks at what motivates, that lie in the heart. And many good deeds really have selfishness written all over them instead of to the glory of God. We need to bring back this understanding of the human condition. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to make a good man better. The gospel of Jesus Christ makes a dead man alive. It's not that we need improvement. We need to be made alive. We were spiritually dead before the good news came to our hearts. That is why God expressed through Paul in the scriptures, Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." There is nothing inside of ourselves that saves. Salvation is a gift of God, and it is grace. The totality of our salvation is a gift from God. We are powerless, we are hopeless, we are lifeless. We are dead as deadness can be. We have no role in our salvation. It is grace and grace alone. Because of rebellious sin in humanity, we deserve the wrath of God. But instead, all through the scripture, mercy was shown in that the wrath was withheld. And grace was extended, bringing blessing, favor, loving kindness instead. Though we merited wrath, God showed us love. Love so great that his only begotten Son was made sin in our place, so that we might be made righteous. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. John Newton marveled at what his life had been and what his life had become because of Jesus Christ. Grace that saved a wretch like me. It is amazing that God's love for us, depraved as we are, God demonstrated his love for us. Messed up, broken, lost sinners, dead in trespasses, truly objects of wrath. His love he demonstrated while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. God saves because of God's mercy and God's goodness, and not because we deserve to be saved. God's grace becomes more and more beautiful as we truly grasp that we are sinners and how sinful we truly are. God's saving action in the gospel that saves. Trying to say there is any goodness on our part instead of depending on grace alone, it's not the gospel, and it does not save. Our assurance of salvation is only by grace. For if our salvation depended on anything we had to do, we would fail, because everything that is of human effort is tainted with sin. That is why the Bible reveals a gospel that is based on what Jesus Christ has done. And that is where we find true salvation. Christ came and lived a perfect life. And through perfect obedience, he offered himself as the perfect and precious Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ did it all, paid it all. On that cross of Calvary, redemption for your soul was put into effect. Nothing more for you to do. Christ has done it all. Repent. Believe. Receive the free gift. Back in the times up to the Reformation, the Roman Church taught that we were saved through a combination of God's grace and the merits that we could accumulate through penance and doing good works, and also through the merits that we could get from the overabundance of the merits of the saints. The saints had accumulated merits through their life. By venerating the saints, we could receive those merits. So it's God's grace plus merit, whether through penance, good works, or accumulated from the saints. And the Reformation said no. Sola gratias. Sola gratia means salvation is by grace and grace alone. Grace at the start, grace at the end, grace in the middle, grace without fail, grace without mixture, grace without addition, grace that allows no boasting on my part, grace that precludes all glorying but in the Lord alone. So surrender. So surrender. Stop trying. Let the fullness of amazing grace capture your heart and bring life into your soul. Now that is hard to do. Everywhere in life, one way or another, we have had to prove ourselves. We had to earn recognition, had to do things to please others. Or do things to be noticed by others. With God, our salvation is freely given. God says, here, receive this gift from me. I give you myself freely. I've done it all. Turn to me. With compassionate, wooing love, God says, turn away from the life that this world teaches, gratifying the cravings of the flesh, following the desires that lead to death. Turn from them and turn to Jesus, who is Christ. Turn to the one who loves you so much. He died in your place to give you life that never ends. By grace, you are saved. Not by anything you did or can do. It is a gift of God. Now, who is this grace for? Who is God's grace for? No one is worthy. That's why it's grace. So this grace of God is for everyone. God's grace is a gift for everyone. From the person who has impeccable manners and is exceedingly kind to the foulest scoundrel and the worst of thugs. From the youngest child to the oldest man or woman, God's gift of grace is for them. From the person in perfect health to the one who is gasping for breath just before the last breath, God's gift of grace is for them. God's gift of grace is truly for everyone. But we have a hard time understanding that. we have a hard time seeing that God's grace is for all people. That is where the parable from Jesus we heard from Matthew can help. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. And as you know, early in the morning as the sun rises, the landowner hires workers for the day. The third hour, another group is hired with the landlord saying he will pay what is right. Sixth hour, more are hired. Ninth hour, more workers hired and sent to the vineyard. Then the last hour, before the end of the workday, another group was sent to the vineyard to work. And you know how it goes, beginning with those who worked an hour or maybe even less than an hour, a full day's wage was given. Each person was given a full day's wage. Those who worked from dawn till dusk expected more. They bore the brunt of work, yet only a full day's wage was given. All, no matter how long or how hard they worked, a full day's wage was paid. Those who worked all day and during the scorching sun grumbled. They got mad. It's not fair. The owner answers, I want to give the last the same I gave you. I have the right to be generous. Generous. God's grace is generous. It is a generous gift to us. All who repent and believe will receive redeeming grace. The good, the bad, the ugly, no matter the baggage, the depth of wickedness, the vileness of the life lived, or the kindness of the life lived. Grace prevails. It is by grace. This is the good news of Christ. This is the gospel that truly saves. Christ and grace alone. As you know, we're going through the five solas. The Word alone, Christ alone, grace alone. Next Sunday, faith alone. All Saints Sunday, to the glory of God alone. But it's grace. Grace that truly saves. Live this amazing grace. Share this amazing grace. In Christ, you have been saved by grace. By grace alone. Live. Live the amazing grace. Share the amazing grace. Amen. Amen.